This whole awakening and change is because of the internet and the free flow of information. And over time, that information gets refined and the truth starts to come out. And we're seeing the truth start to become more and more aware to more and more people. And if they get at the source, that's at the heart of everything that we're doing. So people need to realize and get ready for battle here, because this is serious stuff.
Welcome to Political Roundtable. I'm your host, Ryan Christian, and God damn it if there's not a lot going on in the world today. To start out, I would like to specifically honor Congressman Tulsi Gabbard for something that she said in front of Congress. Let's go ahead and start with that.
Mr. Speaker, under U.S. law, it is illegal for you or me or any American to provide any type of assistance to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or other terrorist groups. If we broke this law, we'd be thrown in jail. Yet the U.S. government's been violating this law for years, directly and indirectly supporting allies and partners of groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS with money, weapons, intelligence, and other support in their fight to overthrow the Syrian government. A recent New York Times article confirmed that rebel groups supported by the U.S., quote, have entered into battlefield alliances with the affiliate of Al-Qaeda in Syria, formerly known as Al-Nusra. The Wall Street Journal reports that rebel groups are, quote, doubling down on their alliance with Al-Qaeda. This alliance has rendered the phrase moderate rebels meaningless. We must stop this madness. We must stop arming terrorists. I'm introducing the Stop Arming Terrorists Act today to prohibit taxpayer dollars from being used to support terrorists. Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Well, that is just amazing. I mean, I have to say that that's incredibly encouraging to see a representative of Congress just standing up and saying those kind of things to, you know, what I would consider a lot of falling on a lot of deaf ears. It's just absolutely fantastic to see anything coming out. I mean, whether this gets completely stifled or not, to have a bill literally called Stop Arming Terrorists Act is fantastic. I mean, and first of all, we have to address the fact that these are points that are completely contradictory to the mainstream narrative. So I'm going to go ahead and say Tulsi Gabbard for president. What do you think, Tim?
No, I think it's a sign of the changing times. And I think we really need to give a lot of credit to the alternative media for allowing this to come out. The alternative media has really been covering the arming, you know, the whole Syria situation and trying to not let a war happen. And I think by covering this so in depth and spreading it so far, it kind of gives these politicians now a cover to talk about these things in Congress. Whereas before, the public was so unaware that they could either be called crazy or there was no political backing by the people. But now so many people know about it and the information spreads so fast, it's so hard to hide these things that now there's so much cover to start bringing them up, and Congress especially. So it's very encouraging, I think, to see something like this. And it's, to me, it's a sign that we are starting to break through more and more. So to me, it's very encouraging.
Oh, yeah. Great point, too. I mean, that's something that I hadn't really thought about. I mean, you have to figure to stand up and talk about, let's say you stand up and talk about geoengineering 20 years ago in front of Congress, it would have fallen on deaf ears to everybody, you know, the public as well. So you're right. I mean, to be able to speak about these things openly today, there's a lot of people that are, you know, really hoping these kind of things come out. And, you know, which kind of falls right into our next topic is something that you've brought up quite a few times in the past. You know, what do we have in front of us that makes us feel that what we're seeing today, whether it be in Congress, between government agencies, what do we see in front of us that makes us feel that there's actually some kind of a coup taking place right now?
Well, I think you can see it pretty clearly with basically trying to not let him get into office. This is pretty clear to me. You have most of the mainstream against him, trying to undermine him. You have now the Russian propaganda act with countering disinformation and propaganda act, basically trying to say all alternative media is fake news. And most of this so-called fake news is calling out a lot of government corruption, is calling out a lot of the hidden aspects that have been buried for so long. And I think this information coming out is partially what got Trump elected. Now, I'm not saying Trump is perfect, but the allegations surrounding Clinton and a lot of the Democrats that she's associated with, as well as the Republicans who didn't want Trump to get in, is really threatening the establishment. And so now you see them trying to keep Trump out because they're trying to keep the current power structure in place. And we so in my opinion, this is a silent coup going on right now, trying to keep the current power structure, which we know is very corrupt, in place. And I know we often think of a coup as a military takeover, but now this is an information war, and in many ways this is a silent coup that's going on behind the scenes. And you can see it right now with them trying to persuade electors not to vote for Trump, and they're using this cover of Russian propaganda and Russian hacking in and leaking these emails as the cover needed to get these electors to vote for, to not vote for Trump. You know, because if there was no political backing, there was no cover for them, they would be much more exposed and they'd have no reason to go against the people's will. But if they use this cover with Russian hacking, which is a secret report that no one's seen, which is ridiculous. And there's a reason no one's seen it, because I don't think there's a lot of evidence to it. And even if Russia did hack into the election and leak those, the emails are still real. And they've pretty much admitted to that the emails are still real. And what's being uncovered is disgusting and just horrendous, especially when you're looking into Pizzagate and whatnot. So who cares? Even if they did, you know, it's like, don't we want peace? Do we want a war with Russia? And so you can see right now they're scared. They're trying to hold on to power because I think they realize that it's slipping. Now, you know, people might argue this is all a psyop. I would disagree. I think there's clearly a divide, and they're trying to silently hold on to power as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's important to address the absurdity of essentially trying to stop Russia from informing Americans of illegal activities their politicians are committing, right? It's so their claim is that they're trying to affect the election with truth. I mean, think of the absurdity of that statement. You know, shame on those Russians for trying to inform us of the truth. I mean, that's, you know, absurd. But, you know, and we really need to take a step back and take a look at the actions that are happening. I mean, we've never seen such a clear divide between people like, you know, Gabbard and these different people within the government who are, you know, at this point now, literally standing up and speaking out against each other. I mean, this entire Russian propaganda narrative stems from false information, like you were saying. I mean, the Washington Post article that essentially kicked most of this off has since been, you know, hasn't been redacted, but they've put up a big statement on their article that basically says this can't be trusted, which is just a cop out. It should have been redacted. It's false information. And, you know, and now like you said, the CIA assessment, which has not been verified, it's unverified information. Now you have people from the FBI speaking out against it, saying that they don't believe this. Now there's even people from within the CIA speaking out, saying they don't agree with this false assessment. I mean, the whole 17 agencies thing has been a lie from the get-go. And so now we're seeing this really start to come out when people probably were just waiting to see if they had something to be shown and nothing's come out. So now you're seeing these agencies stand up and say, look, we've never been on the side of this. This is false information. And, you know, it's, but as far as the coup goes, I would have to say that it's pretty clear that we've been seeing these factions warring against it, even within different intelligence agencies, the CIA and the FBI and these different things in the NSA where, you know, warring factions against each other. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. The whole dark, you know, deep state back and forth has been going on for quite some time, but for it to be seen in the public eye really shows us that this is really kicking into gear. It's pretty clear if you look at everything in front of us that there are divisions happening. And whether you can call that a coup is up for debate, but I agree with you. I definitely think this is what we're seeing today. And, you know, it could culminate with either Trump getting passed over and somebody else being put in, or Trump winning and that being the win on the other side, but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, a lot is hinging on these next couple months. So we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I would make one last point on that. Actually, it would be good to get into the details as well of what could happen with the recount. But I, from my information, and I don't know this for certain, but from what I've gathered, it seems that those emails were not hacked, they were leaked. And it seems, I don't know 100%. It seems they were leaked from within our own government and probably from the FBI. And I would gather they're probably leaked from the NSA database. What I understand, the CIA and the FBI both have access to the NSA database, which collects virtually everything. And it seems like they were leaked. I have to grab a couple of sources, but they were leaked from within the FBI because they were trying to go after Clinton and some of these other activities that were going on, and the higher ups were compromised, and so the only thing they could do was leak them. And so I think they leaked them through WikiLeaks, and then this affected affected the election, but this stuff needed to be known. Apparently the GOP was hacked too, but the evidence or the information wasn't even close to as damning as it was from what came out about the Clintons. So that's my, from what I've gathered through various digging and forums and discussions. So interesting to note.
Definitely. I mean, there's been so much that has gone on from the beginning that contradicts what they've been saying recently, but you know, it was quite clear that something came from within our own government, and which further suggests that there's an actual coup going on. And that's what Dr. Steve Pizniak has spoken out about, that, about what you just said, basically that, you know, that this was released from within our own government with the intentions of doing exactly what we saw, all the negative attention to Clinton, have Trump go in instead. I mean, and that's clear that seems to be exactly what happened. I mean, there's a gentleman named Drake Bailey that we covered, you know, over a year ago, where they spoke out about this exact kind of thing happening. I mean, given speaking out about a possible coup could come true the longer you wait, but you know, it's this definitely seems like something what's happening right now. And you know, this whole Russian propaganda fake news narrative has really backfired, as it would seem to me, and most people, I would think, on the mainstream media. You know, they've been really, really pushing this narrative just over and over. I actually saw a really funny compilation where it showed how ridiculous it is. Every day, their main talking points are the same thing in a different context, you know, just really pushing this. And you're really starting to see it affect their businesses. And I think that a lot of them are beginning to get nervous about that yes, they're still trying to toe the establishment line like they're supposed to, but they are a business. And they do have to successfully run their business. And so, I mean, this is just my guess, but it seems like they're starting to get nervous. For a good example of that is CNN just came out with an article titled "Trump's Shockingly Honest Approach to Putin." Very first sentence, the 2016 election was not rigged by Moscow. Now, that is an op-ed, but it definitely contradicts everything they've been saying. And for this to come out in CNN, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to read that first sentence and be like, wait a minute, it goes against everything that I've been reading the past week. But to me, that shows me that they are at least putting that out there to try to stay somewhere in the middle so they don't just completely lose their business once, you know, the media powers shift, which seems like is happening. What do you think about that, Tim?
Yeah, well, I think it's not just, I think they're seeing that I don't think they're going to win the information war. The only way, because they can't win based on facts, logic, and what's really going on. They're losing that information war. And unless they want to shut down the internet Orwellian style, they're not going to win. And when they go after the internet, they're going after free speech. And even people on the right or left see that as that's a massive attack on humanity by going after free speech. Probably the most important thing we have in our Constitution is free speech. And so they can't, all they can do is run a smear campaign. And I think this information war, this fake news narrative is not working. I don't even see a lot of too many people who know, and they tell their friends and tell their friends. And even if there are people who are in the middle, they're not supporting the fake news thing and they're not supporting censorship. I even see people on the left that I disagree with. What's the guy who runs the secular show, Kyle something. But he was talking about how this is, he's like, I disagree with all the things that Alex Jones says, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't agree with the New World Order or whatever. But he's like, attack on free speech is just ridiculous. And I would agree. What I think they will do is try to work on their algorithms. through social media outlets and then work through advertising and that. I don't know if they'll do a full-on censorship, but yeah, I back to your point, I think that they're trying to, you know, they're changing their tactics, because the fake news thing I don't think is working. The Russian propaganda thing I don't think is working. It's not even working on people on the left very well. You'll find some that are really pushing this Russian narrative. And yes, Trump, and as we'll talk about, as Secretary of State, does have connections to Russia, but I would agree they're losing that narrative and now they're switching. And they'll try to come at, I think they still want to get Trump out. And I think that this recount thing is a serious thing. I mean, they're already, if they can persuade 37 electors to go against the other way, they could oust, they could legally oust Trump through no illegal means. Well, I wouldn't say that, but legally through the way it's set up, they could oust him either through the Electoral College or they could go to a vote. Maybe you could explain that a little bit more before we move on to the next topic.
Definitely. Well, one thing I want to say before we turn into some more Trump related news is, you know, that it's quite, like you said, it's very clear that this is, narrative is failing, that what they tried to do with the fake news, Russian propaganda, you know, arm of their discussion points is, you know, it's just failing completely on the people that are supposed to be their biggest supporters. And, you know, it's leading into this next phase where now they're just, I mean, I think the fake news Russian propaganda was grasping at straws. But now, I mean, I'm even seeing some of them slightly pivot and being like, well, there's evidence that Russia, or that, I'm sorry, that China is influencing, or Turkey. I've seen both of those. And it's just like, they're just grasping at whatever they can, you know. It's, oh, well, Russia's not working, let's pivot to somewhere else. You know, it's just crazy. But, you know, I think what all this is intended to lead into, like you had said, is this Orwellian aspect of control. And that's what they're hoping to maintain. And they're losing that by, you know, with the influence of the alternative media. And, you know, just recently, a bill passed the House, it's HR 4919, where we're literally allowing people with mental disabilities to be microchipped. And, you know, you can see how that might be painted to be helpful. Oh, we're going to help track them down if they get lost. But it's wild that everything that is underneath this category, it even includes people with PTSD and all kinds of things, autism. And so this is the first step towards this Orwellian direction. And these are the kind of things that they're trying to push through, knowing that they're kind of being pushed out. And I mean, it's very alarming. I mean, you know, obviously anybody can see where this could lead, right? But what does this say to you, Tim, when you hear that they're microchipping people with mental disabilities?
Well, it's all part, to me, like you said, it's all part of the massive worldwide control grid. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but they want full control. And so that's why you see, you know, as again, in India, they're banning cash. You can see they're trying to ban cash in America. They want to ban the $100 note. They banned some notes in India. That, again, is hoarding everyone into the financial system. Then you have the microchipping. They're tracking everyone. You have the NSA surveillance grid tracking everything that everyone's doing. So you bring them in, everyone into the same financial system. They want to do an internet ID. So everyone has a personal internet ID, almost like a social security number, to use the internet. They can track everything that everyone does. This is what full control is. And if you're building a matrix, you have to control everything, all aspects. You can't have rogue aspects. And I think what you're seeing now is you have these, I call them globalists, you know, you could call them Satanists. I would agree, think that would be a term, but you don't have to go that far. But they want to control everything. And then you're seeing a pushback between the alternative media and also just people. I think you even have nationalists within the government. I think Trump is more of a nationalist than a globalist, pushing back on this. And while I'm not a hardcore nationalist, it is a better, I mean, it's at least we can affect our country's laws to some degree, as opposed to globalists, where everything is under one control structure. And so again, microchipping is like, it's one of the last steps. It, you know, that's like the ultimate step, end goal, is to have everyone chipped, internet ID, everything. And then everything is on, you can monitor and control everything at that point. And that point, and then you can, it's, you know, when you start looking deeper into some of the stuff like Tavistock and MK Ultra and mind control, this is like mass mind control on a large level. And so, you know, it's very dangerous, and people, it goes way deeper than a lot of people even think. you know, into entertainment, into everything you see and read. All the media is so controlled. You know, that's, to me, the microchipping thing is that's that last step to get everyone in the control grid. And that's, to me, that's like the ultimate, you know, smart cities, techno, you know, technocratic kind of, you know, everything in a technocratic grid. But that's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, what's important to understand about this bill is that it is very vague. And you know, a lot of people will come out at the top immediately and say, well, the verbiage is very clear. It's not invasive. That, you know, basically making people, you know, people who come out with these claims that this is a dangerous step, trying to make them seem like crazy people or conspiracy theorists. And I think that if you don't think that if you don't worry that the government will abuse this bill or manipulate it down the line to further project their long-term agenda, then it's just that you're naive. I mean, then you haven't been paying attention. I mean, this is exactly what will happen. I mean, it's quite clear that they will abuse things like this to suit whatever they want, even if they feel like that's for some greater good, some, you know, fuzzy, arbitrary greater good that they consider is their long-term goal. But what this will do is violate constitutional rights, and it will grow and it will be abused. I mean, that's, if history has shown us anything, it's exactly that. And if you think that's not the case, I refer you to a statement that one of the representatives made to Congress about this exact thing.
One day they'll be remembered as the ones who quietly pushed this bill through that allowed a federal government to begin tracking for the first time. Perhaps someday we'll have a Congress before it's too late that will back up and say, wait a minute, we are not going to be funding with federal taxpayer dollars a tracking system for American citizens. I can guarantee you the program will ultimately be used to involuntarily place tracking information on people.
So there's really no way to misunderstand that. I mean, what he is warning people about is exactly what the you know, the shills will come out and try to make you look crazy for saying. But that is a representative of Congress that is warning about the exact same thing. And if anyone knows what government will do, it'll be him. So what do you think about that, Tim?
Yeah, I just wanted to point to one analogy for people. You know, people will say, it's so much like the frogs in the boiling water. You know, the temperature goes up 1 degree and everyone will be like, oh, see, it's just only up 1 degree. It's no big deal. It's nothing. You know, and it looks like nothing because it's just one little degree. But over time, 1 degree, 1 degree, 1 degree, 1 degree. The next thing you know, you look back 10 years later and so much of your freedoms is gone. The world has really changed. But you don't notice it in the very day by day, week by week. And then 5-10 years later, you look at it. Half of our civil liberties are gone. We're, you know, it's very gradual. And so like a lot of conspiracy theorists will see the bigger picture that's gone on, but people in the short term be like, well, it's nothing. It's just, you know, it's just 1 degree. It's just one little thing. But as I go, 1 degree becomes another degree, becomes another. And the next thing you know, they're microchipping half the population. And then 10 years later, they're microchipping everyone. And people call you alarmist, but that's how it works. As David Icke says, the totalitarian, I always mess that word up, tiptoe. You know, if you go from A to Z, they're going to notice. But if you go slowly one by one, people never never look up and see what's happening.
Right. For your own protection, of course. Right. That's
always.
Well, you know, one more side note before we roll further is I just recently saw some new technology that really made me uncomfortable, especially talking about mind control, where there are literally ways now where, and obviously this is the first step. I mean, there's no way that this could be secretly done, possibly, but no way it could be secretly done, I would say. But there's ways you can put patches on your own muscle, on your own, you know, in your skin, your muscles, and connect wires to it and hook it up to somebody else, and then literally be able to control their muscles using your own brain impulses, right? And to take that one step further, they're actually now being able to put a microchip and the same technology on a cockroach. Remote control this cockroach around. So what this is showing us is that the idea of actual mind control with some kind of electronic impulse is not only possible, it's happening right now. And I would say that the first thing to assume is that if they're doing this right now, some kind of public level with cockroaches, someone like, you know, some government agency is doing this right now at a next level, you know, next level. You know what I mean? Like that's what I would say is happening right now. But the fact that that's possible, and now we're talking about putting microchips into our body that, you know, could emit some kind of pulse. I mean, obviously I don't fully understand the depth of that kind of technology, but it seems like something that is very alarming to me to even take that next step. I mean, wouldn't you say? I mean, that seems pretty scary.
Oh yeah. The mind control system goes far, far, far deeper than most people have any idea. I hope to get into this in another show. We really start looking at the Tavistock Institute in particular and the MK Ultra program being extended. But maybe a topic for another day, but another technology, you know, the CRISPR gene, and basically being able to put whatever DNA you want and having designer babies. It's a very, very our technology, you know, last point I'll make is that technology, people always like, oh, more and more and more and more technology, but we're losing track of the ethical implications of what we're doing and the moral obligations that we're forgetting when we just continue to go like we're God. It's like we're, you know, this is what Satanism is, trying to play God on the earth and believing there is no limit and no, you know, so it's a dangerous trajectory we're heading in that department. And so we need to rebalance ourselves into, you know, what's possible, well, you know, a balance, you know, not go and no without any repercussions.
Certainly. It's always important to reflect on the long-term repercussions of some action you might take, and especially the moral and ethical implications. You're essentially moving forward without really, you know, taking note of what could go wrong or what could happen or whether or not you even should do this, right? But let's roll into some Trump news. So first off, there's been some pretty interesting picks in the last week. I think the most relevant one to start with is his Trump's pick for Secretary of State, which was Rex Tillerson, the CEO of Exxon. That's one that has a lot of implications. I'll let you start with that one, Tim.
Yeah, definitely has a lot of implications. You know, if you would have asked me a year ago what I thought of this, I would have been like, oh, this is terrible. And I'm highly skeptical, don't get me wrong. I was glad he didn't. John Bolton is the Deputy Secretary of State, which is highly dangerous. This guy is a neocon from the Project for a New American Century. So that's very dangerous. But Rex Tillerson, Exxon CEO, obviously Exxon has a somewhat of a shady past. What I do find interesting, a couple things though, is that, well, he didn't choose Mitt Romney, which is, to me, that's a positive. He did come from humble beginnings, from what I understand, which is interesting. I do like people who usually come from humble beginnings. Not to say if you can't be rich and also be good, but it does give usually some perspective on things better. But he does have very close ties with Russia. He's negotiated some major deals with Putin, especially in the Arctic. And he actually, for that, he received one of the highest honors that any outsider can get in Russia. I believe it's called the Order of Friendship Award. So that is interesting. So he's very connected to Putin. And this a lot of the other side, Clinton, who was basically trying to promote a war with Russia, this obviously upsets them a lot. Another interest, and also what's interesting is that the Clintons wanted to go after the Exxon CEO because he stopped donating to the Clinton Foundation recently, which is very interesting. And obviously a lot of environmentalists don't like Exxon. There is actually a feud in Exxon between Tillerson and the Rockefellers, which is a very interesting. The Rockefellers were trying to get him off of the board, and he was only be CEO and not the head of the board. Feud on that. I didn't follow up on who won out on that. But basically, they were wanting the company to shift to renewable more, to basically climate change. And we know the Rockefellers are huge proponents of climate change. And I'm climate change is a very tough issue. And Trump actually came out and said, no one really knows about climate change. And I would actually have to agree with him there. I've looked into it a lot. Obviously, we are harming the planet big time. And there's we need to start taking better care of it. I think that's a major problem. But man-induced climate change, I'm unsure about. They make it so hard to know. The statistics are, you know, who even knows? They're theories. It's theories. Who knows what's going on in the Antarctica? A lot of people talking about that right now. I don't know enough details to go into it, but it's hard to even know. So it is interesting that he was trying to not promote this climate change. He has been for carbon credits, which is very concerning to me. I totally don't believe in the carbon credit method. But it is interesting that there was a feud between him and the Rockefellers, and we all know about the Rockefellers. So that is interesting. His connections to Russia is very interesting. Obviously people would talk about some conflicts of interest. He owns around $150 million in Exxon. So what's going to happen with the stock in that? So that'll be interesting to know. But I mean, at this point, I'm somewhat pro-Russia. I'm not saying there are any type of saviors or anything, but one step at a time. And I am very skeptical of the climate change movement. But I do think there's something that needs to be done. I'm not for fracking. I think he's pro-fracking, which I don't like. But the fact that he was in a feud with the Rockefellers and that he's somewhat outsider, he's somewhat of an outsider. Well, to a certain degree, obviously he's not to another degree. But the fact that he's not I don't think he's in the Council on Foreign Relations or the Trilateral Commission. And he hasn't been a politician before, which people always say, oh, he's got no experience. But at the same time, most of the politicians have bad experience. So it's interesting. I don't know it's kind of a wait and see. I don't know what's going to come of it. But there are a lot of interesting connections there, both good and bad.
Yeah, I would say I have pretty much most of the same pointers. You know, really, the one I think, like you said, that's a positive to me is that he's really got basically no political backing, no political career. And I think that embodies what Trump was talking about during his election. I mean, really, you know, bringing in fresh eyes, these not political minds that are used to doing things in their typically fraudulent political way. You know, like you said, he supports a carbon tax, which I don't agree with. One of the ones that I'm most worried about is he actually supports free trade agreements. But, you know Trump's stance on that, and he's been very outspoken about the fact that he's going to TPP is already dead the most part, but weirdly enough, China just ratified it. But basically, I think that Trump, he made the statement that he will put an end to that the moment that he's in office. But the fact that he supports trade agreements, Rex Tillerson, that is, I don't like that, but it really depends on who's leading the charge. And then like you said as well, he does have a lot of stock in Exxon. That could be a conflict of interest. You know, we see everyone, the pressure for Trump to do away with those connections. Maybe he'll do the same. I certainly hope so. But honestly, that one for me is not a huge definitive factor. Funny enough, InfoWars has even come out trying to defend big oil, essentially, which in essence defending this position because he thinks this is one of the best picks. And on a funny side note, actually, Tillerson right now is, like you said, he's pro-fracking. However, he is currently in a lawsuit this moment trying to stop fracking from happening right next to his house. So that's pretty contradictory.
I was going to say, you said China, it was Japan that ratified the passed the TPP, right? Not China?
Yes, I'm sorry. I misspoke. You're correct.
Okay. I wanted to make one point too. This is more of a speculative point, and it will play out. But it almost seems like to me that there is they're trying to form a kind of a new alliance with US, Russia, you know, other trying to resolve the Syrian conflict. And almost seems like they're throwing Saudi under the, and Saudi is very interconnected with the Clintons, it seems like they're very interconnected with child trafficking. And so it seems like this is almost a ploy to throw Saudi underneath the bus, especially when it comes to oil. The thing is, if you want to start restoring some type of better order, you will need some type of big oil person in there who can make big changes on that type of stage. And so just another way to look at it, when you're talking about big geopolitics, especially when it comes to oil, which really is a big factor in geopolitics. And so something to think about. It seems like there's this new type of alliance there forming that's going to throw the Saudi kind of, and it looks like it's going to really harm OPEC. OPEC is kind of a thorn in the side of the Russia and And so it seems like they're forming this new alliance kind of when it comes to oil, if that is to go through, which I find interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, I always find it an interesting dynamic that most people aren't aware that we currently have enough oil in the shales and the Dakotas inside the United States to sustain the country for, I think the last estimate was like over 300 years with nothing else. However, we're not allowed. It's our own rule, but we won't allow ourselves to drill in government land, which is kind of a ridiculous kind of circle of logic there, because it's our own rule stopping us from doing, you know what I mean? I get it. Most people don't want the fracking to happen, but we could effectively remove ourselves from the Saudi Arabia connection. But the point is they don't want that to happen. I would say that's why that little circle happens, but interesting.
I think it also has to do with petrodollar. I also think child trafficking is actually a much bigger part of that alliance than people think and know. And I have heard some speculation. I would like to do more research on this. This is a harder topic to research. A lot of people will speculate that not only do we have tons of water underneath the earth, but we also have tons and tons and tons of oil. This whole peak oil thing is actually a myth, but that requires more research. So people should research that on themselves. But I have heard a lot of rumblings about that, which I find very interesting.
Definitely. I mean, that's something. I mean, they're nothing but manipulation, I feel like, today. I mean, I think everything I feel like you hear from a government agency or mainstream media today very easily be taken with a salt lick, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know that they represent specific narratives and agendas. It's been all but proven at this point. I should just come out and say proven. I mean, we're all pretty aware of what's going on. Even the people that still watch mainstream media know that what they're being told is manipulated. But that, I think that's all but made apparent to everybody. Moving on to the next picks, I feel like this one is very, very damning. But again, there's a lot of speculation around what this could mean or how it could be used. But Rick Perry, Trump's pick for to head Department of Energy, is actually a board member on the company that's behind the Dakota Access Pipeline. So that one for me is very alarming. I mean, Trump has been outspoken about the fact that he is going to continue this pipeline the moment that he comes into office. Like, he's going to remove all hindrances and just plow through with this pipeline. And that's pretty frustrating, because you know, we all see what's happening there. But again, that's what it was said, and maybe things have changed. I mean, he's kind of shifted quite a bit since he's actually, you know, got into being humming president-elect. But the fact that he's on this board, it's pretty clear that that's what he's going to want to happen. But what do you think, Tim?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I wonder, you know, if those veterans show up again and people are really against it. I think what's going to happen is they're going to end up rerouting it. It seems like I think that's going to ultimately end up happening, is they're going to reroute it around the area. But, you know, this issue of, you know, people like living off the land and owning the land and eminent domain is going to be an issue that's going to continue to grow. And the whole what government's function is and how much power they have, I think, will continue to grow. I don't know what's going to happen with that, to be honest. But I think they'll end up rerouting it.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a possibility. I mean, what's funny that most people aren't aware of is that it's already been rerouted once. And what's interesting is that it was rerouted for the same concerns that the Standing Rock Sioux tribe are raising. Except the difference was, this was a predominantly Caucasian community that showed they didn't want it going through their area. And so they shifted into this area, and now they're having the same concerns, but for some reason they fall on deaf ears. I find that to be pretty revealing, yeah, myself.
Definitely telling, and obviously not surprised. You know, that's something we're going to have to keep fighting for, and that's definitely a battle that's going to keep waging on, is native land, not just native lands, but the government control of lands. They own so much land now, and they can't just do what they want with it all the time. And so I think that's an issue that's going to keep growing. I just feel like right now we need to fight that and then solve some bigger problems at the same time.
Yeah, one thing that most people are unaware of as well is the fact that the idea of the federal government owning land is quintessentially unconstitutional. I mean, that verbatim is unconstitutional. However, they've made stipulations and amendments and changes and things that make it semi-constitutional, if you want to look at it that way. But the original The original amendments make it very clear that the federal government is essentially, you know, to maybe simplify it, is not supposed to own land. And that's, it's really supposed to enforce the overarching ideas of the Constitution, and that's it. And so, you know, the fact that they own this land, I mean, the Bureau of Land Management itself is highly unconstitutional. I mean, that's one of the reasons this whole Bundy, that's really where the whole Bundy ranch scenario began, was their fight with Bureau of Land Management and the fact that it's unconstitutional. But it's, yeah, you know, I think that's been growing over the last so many years as well.
My last point, I guess, to make on that for me was, is, you know, I think before we can think about scaling down the size and the power of government, I think we're going to have to stomp some of the most corrupt elements out first, and then start to decrease the size of it, because we're never going to decrease the size of it until we get some of the nastiest elements out of it. I guess that's my view on it, because I don't want to show, I don't want to tell people, it's an important issue, and I bet it'd be even more important if I was, you know, one of these, member of these native tribes. I don't want to downplay the importance of it, but I guess, you know, in the larger scale of things, I think we're going to have to stump out some of the nastiest parts of the federal government, as in particular people and institutions, and then we can start scaling back the size and power of it, because I am a big believer in that. Decentralization of power and a small federal government. That's one of my core principles. But I think we're going to have to stomp out some of the most corrupt elements first.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could make the argument, like you're saying, that all of these problems, wherever they are, small and large, stem back to that same focal corruption that we're seeing. I mean, that's really what we have to focus on to begin with. Otherwise, these things will continue to change. I mean, we're seeing these levers put in place at every step of the system to where they can manipulate and change, you know, based on what they need to do. I mean, you know, like we were saying with the electoral college, and, you know, if you know, one member of the House, one member of the Senate submits an objection in writing, that the electoral votes can potentially be invalidated. You know what I mean? And so that's one lever in place that I wasn't even aware of not too long ago. You know, so these levers are put in place intentionally, so regardless of what the people want, they can step in and use their little stipulation to put it in their own way. I mean, so you're right. I mean, what we need to do is essentially focus on the main problem, which, you know, government corruption right now is something that is rampant. I mean, we're seeing it in every aspect. And I think one that's on most people's minds is what we're seeing in mainstream media. And, you know, one of the last stories I want to leave you with here today is it's very interesting that, you know, we've been seeing this whole fake news back and forth. We've talked about it already. But what's funny is that even right now, we're still seeing stories that come out by these very mainstream outlets that are pointing the finger at everyone else that are fake, that are proven fake, that are revealed as fake. They've even retracted stories. And yet for some reason, they still stand up and say fake news and point at everybody else. I find that to be pretty incredible. But just recently, the mainstream media was claiming, and I say the mainstream media, I'm sure there were some that didn't. There was a lot of outlets that covered this. Basically started to make the claim that Trump has been and is using his investments and his positions to make money off of what he says and what he does throughout the election. Come to find out that regardless of, you know, they put this out without doing any due diligence, come to find out that Trump actually dumped all those conflicting investments, the specific ones they were referring to back in June, for the exact reason of being able to run with zero influence from these, you know, outside influence, essentially. And what's baffling to me is that there's no retraction made. They don't come out and say, oh, we were incorrect. They just move forward, you know, and that is dangerous. That is fake news. That's what we're seeing. You know, we may come out and say things that are speculation or, you know, objective comments that people may run with as fact. You know, we never intend for that to happen. We try to be always very clear when we are speculating and when we have facts. What we're seeing with the mainstream media is the opposite of that. Everything they say comes out, if it's a fact, even if it's based on an anonymous source or some fuzzy, you know, unintelligible CIA assessment that no one gets to see. I mean, it's nonsense. But this one blows my mind because he got rid of this stuff. He didn't publicize it. And they come out with this article and it's not true. And they just move on. I mean, that should show us all what's really happening today.
Yeah, they always saying sources say or experts say, yet they never say who those sources are, who those experts are. So, you know, it's they have no other move. They cannot argue based on facts and logic. They cannot win that way. So this is all about perception. And controlling perception is literally mind control on big scale. It's all public relations and propaganda to affect public relations, to affect perception. That's what it all is rooted in. They cannot, they cannot win on based on facts and logic. And so there, you see these smear campaigns going on, and it's all in a lot of it. It's so crazy because we've been not talked about for so long, the alternative media, but we can see what's been building this, the truth movement and the conspiracy, the conspirators who have been lying for so long, they've been on a collision course, and eventually they're going to clash. They're simply incompatible with each other, and we're seeing that clash right now. All the seeds we've planted are harvesting, and we're seeing that clash. And was going to be interesting to see what's going to happen from that. This is just the beginning. This thing is going to heat up, and we need all hands on deck. Everyone, no one can sit this one out, or you really risk lose. If we lose the alternative, if we lose the internet, we lose our source. This whole awakening and change is because of the internet and the free flow of information. And over time, that information gets refined and the truth starts to come out. And we're seeing the truth start to become more and more aware to more and more people. And if they get at the source, that's at the heart of everything that we're doing. So people need to realize and get ready for battle here, because this is serious stuff, what they're trying to do here. This is a ministry of truth they're trying to create. And this will snowball more and more. And so people, this is not the time to sit back and relax and watch from the sidelines. You got to participate in this.
Well said. Hear, hear. You know, it's, we all need to reflect on the fact that there is a war going on, just like you said, Tim. There is a battle for your mind right this moment. And you need to make choices on what you're going to believe. And it's hard because we don't want more division in this country. But it's unfortunate that what they're pushing through your television set is division. They're trying to get you to believe things that are incorrect. So it is up to you. You need to decide what you're going to believe in. You need to be active in your research. Research things you see on the television set, whether it's mainstream media, alternative media, I mean, anything. Go out there and actively find answers for yourself. It's the only way you can find the truth. Stay vigilant. Stay up. Always. Follow the change. Be the change.